Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
It's 8:50 on Morning Edition and time for our pre-opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Wednesday morning, everyone. The Midwest direct hog markets are called weak to $1 per hundredweight lower today, pressured by the large number of hogs available to plants and continued weakness in the pork cutouts. Terminals are called steady to a dollar lower today. Top prices from $41 to $43. Peoria called steady today with a top price of $41. In the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Hog Report for Tuesday, September 26, voluntarily reported negotiated swine purchases were 13,429. For the base market hog on a 185-pound carcass basis, the base price range was $54.50 to $62.16. The weighted average, $61.49. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $42 to $51.73, and the weighted average was $47.36. For the Western Daily Direct Hog Report, negotiated swine purchases were 13,657. The base price range was $54.50 to $64.04. The weighted average was $60.69. On a live basis, barrels and gilts sold from $42.54 to $49.76, and the weighted average was $46.80.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
Joining us now with a look at today's agricultural weather is Mike Sola. And Mike, it appears that that storm we were talking about earlier in the week has slowed down a tad.
It really doesn't have a whole lot of moisture to work with. That is good news for those trying to get back into the fields and get the crop out. There is a band of precipitation heaviest right now across portions of southern Michigan and through northern Indiana. The rain tapers off across north central Illinois from around Gary, Indiana, towards Peoria, and then just a few scattered showers across west central Illinois, northeastern Missouri, and extreme southeastern Iowa. There will be a chance for some scattered showers a little bit later on in the day. There will be a chance for some thunderstorms that could possibly drop some locally heavy rainfall. Right now, it looks like once again the heaviest precipitation will fall towards the Ohio River Valley, an area that definitely does not need it after some local foot-plus precipitation totals over the weekend, and not a whole lot of drying time before this next system has arrived. Little change in the distribution of rain was suggested by the computer model runs this morning for the weather across the U.S. Midwest, but the bottom line does not change much from the forecast that we were talking about yesterday. Showers will occur periodically across the region, and that may lead to some sluggish field work in some areas. However, the combination of warmer-than-usual temperatures late this weekend and early next week, along with the light amounts of precipitation, should translate into some decent field work in areas that have not been too wet in recent days. Again, there does seem to be a greater bias for rain across northern portions of the Midwest, allowing the flood impact lower Midwest to have better opportunity for the next dry for some net drying while following today and Thursday's light rain shower activity. But again, some local areas right along the Ohio River with the possibility of thunderstorms later on today could see some significant rain totals. They will be more local than widespread, but there again, the chance does exist. Across the Delta and the Southeast, weather dry yesterday with high temperatures in the 80s across the Delta and into the southern areas of the Southeast. Northern half of the region only had highs in the 70s and lows this morning in the 50s and 60s, with some upper 40s and higher elevations across northern Georgia. A cold front passing through the northern Delta tonight and through the southeastern section of the country Thursday will bring scattered showers, and the resulting rainfall will generally be light. Harvest progress will resume quickly this weekend and continue generally uninhibited through the weekend and into the early portion of next week. Outlook for the second week of forecast is drier than yesterday's forecast and now includes only a few days of isolated showers in the southeast. The other areas that we are looking at with much interest are south of the border and down towards Argentina and Brazil, with Brazil looking at a rainfall possibility that through the weekend that could bring frequent rain with a larger storm system expected Thursday through Saturday of this week and again on October 9th and 11th with rainfall during the two wetter periods generally widespread with sufficient amounts to bolster soil moisture in a significant manner. Southern Brazil is liable to become a little too wet during the next 2 weeks, while northern areas should receive just enough rain to support crop and field work, with the Bahia region being the driest. And as far as Argentina goes, a few showers did occur yesterday in the Buenos Aires region and early this morning. Rain totals were generally less than a quarter inch, around 15/100, although a few greater totals may have occurred in northeastern Buenos Aires during the pre-dawn showers. Temperatures will remain mild in the south and warm to hot in the north today, with some cooling expected across areas in the north tomorrow. Temperatures late weekend and into the following weekend will be close to normal. With a look at the growing area weather, I'm Mike Zola.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3751. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In the Tuesday overnight trading session, Kansas City December wheat opened at 479.5 unchanged. Last trade up 4.25. March 489 down a half. Last trade up 2.5. December wheat at the Board of Trade opened at 423.75, up 3/4. Last trade up 4. March 443.5, up 3. Last trade up 4.25. July 452 down 1.25. Last trade up 2. December corn opened at 259, unchanged. Last trade up 1. March 272.5, down 1/4. Last trade up 1.5. July 287.5, down 1/2. Last trade up 1.75. Your red line December 301, down 1. Last trade up 1. November beans opened at 546.25, down 1/2. Last trade up 1/2. March 570.75. Down up 1/4, last trade up 1/2. July 590.5, up 1/2, last trade down 1.75. October soybean meal opened it at 162.70, up 30, last trade up 30. October soybean oil opened at 23.80, up 4, last trade up 2. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Clayton.
Hey, good morning, Dave.
Well, corn put in another pretty impressive performance yesterday on what was deemed technical action. It kind of fizzled out, though, toward the end of the day when it got up to the 50% retracement level at 259, went above the 100-day moving average, and didn't hit buy stops right above the 100-day moving average. Is this rally just about over?
I would guess that's the case. Yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot left here. Like you said, corn got up to 261 last night, finished at 260, probably opened around there this morning, about a penny higher. And I think I've seen an awful lot of mention of 263 to 265 area being some really good resistance. I guess I wouldn't be shocked to see it poke its head up there. We had that August high of at the time it had poked its head above the 50-day moving average. Of course, the 50-day moving average is way lower now, but it, when it hit 266, yeah, somewhere right around there, I think would be a very low risk sale, in my opinion.
And of course, the 264 area, the 62% retracement level as well. What is your call for corn today?
Well, a half to one better, kind of reflecting the night session, and then of course the wheat market was real powerful last night. Part of that, I guess, might be due to the finally announced sale to Iraq, like you'd mentioned, the 300 or 350,000 metric tons. But beyond that, I think you know the dry spots around the world, Australia and Argentina, are definitely adding to the upside potential there a little bit. But and then the talk of planting delays here in the U.S. First, I think that's a little premature to be talking about that, but it's a factor.
What about over in the soybeans, given the strength we saw in corn and wheat yesterday? Soybeans didn't put in all that marvelous a performance.
No, they really didn't. I mean, what are we, about a dime from contract lows there, or at least, you know, seasonal lows there in the beans? They just don't really want to play along. You get the feeling sort of being dragged begrudgingly along here. But that makes sense, I think, when you look at the carryover in the beans, not only U.S., but world. The beans, the only thing they have going for me, if you ask me, are long-term, you know, the possibility of you know, a massive switch from beans to corn as far as acres go, but that's pretty far down the horizon, I think, before that becomes, you know, front and center argument.
Of course, yesterday we got the guesses for Friday's quarterly grain and stocks report. And in corn, 1.967 billion bushels, soybeans, 482 million. At least in the early talk, this is a non-starter. Are you surprised by that?
Well, yeah, you don't hear much talk about it. I guess part of that is a reflection of the fact that the, you know, the real tightness in carryover comes into play next year. Everybody's talking about, you know, what is the 06-07 carryover going to be in corn, and that's clearly going to be a bigger market mover. And it does seem like we're just kind of fine-tuning here as far as demand goes, because, you know, the number we get Friday morning is what supposedly will tie out to the ending carryover figure for that crop year. So I like most others, certainly don't look for a shocker there. It you know, as fine-tuning as we seem to be as far as tallying demand and so forth, I think a big surprise would is unlikely.
Thank you much, Clayton.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Clayton Pope of Clayton Pope Commodities. He is in Champaign, Illinois. You're listening to WILO Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. It's 9:01 Central Time.